Greetings and welcome to Black Talk Radio News with Scotty Reed. We have a story from The Intercept that came out roughly about 2 days ago. Very important story. I don't know why it has not been picked up by some of your quote-unquote mainstream media sources, your cable news networks. I have my suspicions, but I don't have any concrete information. But you would think that a story pointing out that a major college body that makes billions of dollars annually on sports, I'm talking about college sports, has used the 13th Amendment to justify not paying student athletes, not even in a work study type program, and sharing that revenue with the athletes. And, you know, it has well been documented how much money that these athletes generate, especially basketball. But football, it does pretty well. But those two sports right there pay for all the other sports, as well as a lot of other stuff that you have on these college campuses. And none of it would happen if not for the student athletes that's on the court. And if they're especially winning a lot, winning national championships, that can mean a lot of money. You got the TV money. I understand that there may have been a record-breaking deal set in television. I'm not sure which other networks picked up the NCAA tournament this year, but I heard it was in the billions. And I'm calling right now for a boycott. And, yeah, so before I even get into this story by Sean King from The Intercept, man, we need to boycott. Just like people was talking about boycotting the NFL, although you had two opposing camps both talking about boycotting the NFL, and their ratings did slide. Some people trying to say it was a result of Colin Kaepernick's silent protest, which inspired other players to protest. And you know, so you had both camps saying, hey, let's boycott the NFL. Those who supported Colin Kaepernick, they were saying, let's boycott the NFL till he gets a job. And then you had those angry because people dare express their First Amendment rights by silently taking a knee on the sideline or not even coming out of the locker room in Julius Peppers' case, future Hall of Famer. You know, they were calling for a boycott as well. Now, if you ever had a reason to boycott sports, I would say that this story by Sean King, the NCAA, says student athletes shouldn't be paid because the 13th Amendment allows unpaid prison labor. That's the headline from The Intercept. Of course, we'll put it in the podcast description so that you can link to it yourself and read it for yourself, and check out some of the sources that might be listed on the page. But this is an article that I think should go viral. People should be sharing this all over because it's helping expose the fact that even colleges, at least the attorneys of the colleges that's fighting against a lawsuit to pay student athletes, even if it's a work study program, considering how much money, how much revenue they're generating for everyone else, this results in huge salaries for staff, your coaches, your athletic directors, you know, everybody's making all of this money except the athletes who get penalized and have rules in place that prohibit them from capitalizing off of their own likenesses and fame that they have generated out there on the basketball court or the football field. And so for those that have never read the 13th Amendment, and no shame to you if you had not, I had not read it until about 6 years ago, which inspired me to create a program called New Abolitionist Radio, focusing entirely on the fact that the 13th Amendment did not abolish slavery, bringing on attorneys, bringing on law professors, bringing you news and information in the context of modern slavery and human trafficking. And so, again, this is very important story. Now, let me say this. I used to get get mad. Not angry or emotional, but I would get annoyed. That's the word I'm looking for. I would get annoyed whenever I would hear people compare college athletes to slaves. I would get very annoyed at that because I'm looking at it in the context of slavery pre-1865, pre-13th Amendment, all right? And I'm saying, look, these individuals don't have to play. They have a choice. They don't have to play. They could go overseas and play and get paid to play. They don't have to go to college. There are alternative routes. So they're not being forced to. I can't compare them to, let's say, pre-1865 slavery when someone was kidnapped from the West Coast of Africa, brought over here in chains and forced to labor for another individual's profit. Okay, I couldn't compare it. Or if we want to bring it to modern slavery, post-1865 slavery, the 13th Amendment slavery that the NCAA is citing as a defense as to why they can profit off of these student athletes' labor without having to pay them. But in a modern example, someone that's in prison has been charged with a crime. Whether or not they were guilty or not is immaterial. Some of these laws going all the way back to, since we want to talk about slavery, let's talk about the black codes that emerged all over the United States, but primarily in the South, but everywhere. Your segregation, your Jim Crow laws, as some call it, but your black codes that started criminalizing trivial things like unemployment. Well, I shouldn't say that's trivial, but criminalizing things like unemployment. If you couldn't prove you had a job, if you weren't gainfully employed, a sheriff could throw you into jail. From that jail, they could lease you out to plantations, make money off of you. Another form of slavery. Okay? So today, we have modern-day slave catchers and plantation overseers, and we see them in the jails and the prisons. Then you have the private prisons. So that's what 13th Amendment slavery looked like. So I used to resist. I would resist comparing athletes who are going to college, hopefully studying, you know, having a fun college experience while also putting in very hard work academically, we hope. And of course, if they're there on a sports scholarship, they're in that gym, they're working out, they're going to practices, that they're not being paid for. And this is, and if they do well, if they make it to the field, the 64 in the upcoming NCAA basketball tournament, which we should boycott. I'm calling on people who are against slavery to boycott the NCAA, and I'm going to read excerpts from this article, and I hopefully you'll be convinced that you should join us. But so, I mean, with that, let me just get into the article. It's really inflaming, but I will resist. Let me leave it at this. I will resist comparing college athletes to victims of slavery because they had a choice. But now I've changed my mind. I said all of that to say I can change my mind when presented with new information. And this article presented me with new information that the NCAA, this is the national, I don't know what the acronym stands for, but it's the colleges and universities. They had these football tournaments. You see them on television. Now they got a playoff system. That's what the basketball tournament has always been about. Very popular, brings in lots of money on television and what have you. So since the NCAA is saying, hey, we don't have to pay them because we're looking at them as slaves. You know, people are offended by comparing these college athletes to criminals, but I would say the real criminal are the human traffickers, the one who exploit human beings, labor, their energy, steal that energy to put profits in their pocket. Those are the real criminals. These are are cases that should be brought up in places like the International Criminal Court. But unfortunately, the United States of America Incorporated chose not to sign that treaty. So therefore, these NCAA officials and heads are not subject to being brought up on human rights violations. But they're admitting that they're practicing slavery. They're practicing slavery. Everybody should be outraged. The students themselves should be outraged. Although I'm not going to put a young man or woman in a position to boycott in light of the NCAA calling you slaves and admitting that they don't have to pay you when they're making all this money and exploiting you. I'm not going to put that pressure on you as a young person, but you know, that's up to you and your parents. But I think everyone should boycott these games. Stop going to the games. Definitely there should be a national boycott of the upcoming NCAA tournament. Again, I'm very passionate about the issue of legalized slavery and human trafficking in the United States. And it's one of those issues that I can talk all day about. But let's get to some of the excerpts from Sean King's article. Again, the headline is the NCAA says student athletes shouldn't be paid because the 13th Amendment allows unpaid prison labor. So Sean King, in the first excerpt, it says the United States college athletes, particularly those who compete at some of the largest football and basketball programs, generate not millions but billions of dollars for universities, brands, and television networks. In 2015, the top programs made a combined $9.1 billion. That's in 1 year. Okay, the NCAA, for its part, just signed an $8.8 billion deal with CBS to air March Madness, the college basketball championship tournament. Again, I'm calling for a boycott. I'm calling for a boycott in light of the NCAA taking a stance that these athletes are their slaves. College sports is a business, Sean King goes on to write, a very lucrative business. That very obvious dynamic undergirds a lawsuit filed by former NCAA athlete Lawrence Poppy Livers, asserting that scholarship students who play sports are employees and deserve pay. The Livers case argues that student athletes who get scholarships should at least be paid as work-study students for the time that they put in. Again, so I agree with him. You have these work-study programs that other students are able to participate in and make some a little extra money, and then the students that's bringing in all the money aren't able to even participate in that program. Again, I've changed my mind. College athletes are, in fact, modern-day slavery. A form of slavery is being practiced against them. Let's continue. What the NCAA did in response to the lawsuit, as Sean King writes, is as vile as anything going on in sports right now. I had to see it for myself before I believed it. At the root of its legal argument, the NCAA is relying on one particular case for why NCAA athletes should not be paid. That case is Vanskeke versus Peters. Only there's an important detail. Daniel Vanskeke was a prisoner at Statesville Correctional Center in Joliet, Illinois, and Howard Peters was the director of the State Department of Corrections. In 1992, Vanskeke and his attorneys argued that as a prisoner, he should be paid a federal minimum wage for his work. The court in this decision cited the 13th Amendment and rejected the claim. Again, if you have not read the 13th Amendment, I believe it's only 47 words long. I almost have it memorized to the T. And I should have it memorized considering I've been doing a radio program and talking to others about the 13th Amendment exception clause since we launched New Abolitionist Radio 6 years ago. I believe it was in 2012. What the NCAA did, man, this is pretty disgusting, but they're admitting The 13th Amendment says that involuntary servitude and slavery, or it might be slavery and involuntary servitude, shall be abolished except for punishment for a crime where a person has been duly convicted in a court or by a jury of his peers and blah, 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 blah. Duly convicted of a crime. So like the 13th, the documentary that came out from Netflix, one of their bylines said from slave to criminal in one amendment was what one of the, you know, arguments that they made about the 13th Amendment in putting forth their documentary, the 13th. All right. So this is what the NCAA is saying. They're slaves, man. How do y'all student athletes feel about that? How do y'all feel about that? And it also, you know, we must point out that like the 13th Amendment, that there are more, although the college athletes are predominantly black, there are more than black people playing college sports. That in football and basketball, and they are slaves too. Just like a person, regardless of their skin color, can get arrested on these drug war laws, criminalizing people's choice of whether or not they want to ingest or use a substance. All right, as adults, they should be able to do then, you know, to keep this drug war going, to keep the prisons filled up, and to make money off of these modern day slaves, even if it's just warehousing their bodies. Okay, so man, this is what's going on, and it's real. We appreciate Sean King, and I'm speaking for the new abolitionist movement for which I'm a part of. That, you know, I really appreciate you putting this out, especially, you know, after you were questioned about the 13th Amendment by a member of the new abolitionist radio activists out of Ohio. Yet the end, and I'm gonna just share this last excerpt. Yet the NCAA wants to rely on this case and to call on the 13th Amendment, the body that runs college sports, wants to use a justification for the slave labor of convicted criminals to justify its outrageous greed. Now, you know, I would not use that word criminals to refer to people that's in prison. Sean King, very wonderful article. You know, I'm just sharing excerpts from it. I do encourage people to read the article in its entirety. Again, it's on The Intercept. But, you know, I don't call these people criminals. Are there criminals in prison? Yes. But the vast majority of the people that's in prison are in there for nonviolent victimless crimes where they did not commit a criminal act, violate another human being's rights, you know, did nothing of the sort but violated some black code that's on the books to fill up the prisons to keep slavery going in its present form. That's the only thing, though. I don't like using the dehumanizing terms, and criminal is a dehumanizing term. But, you know, just a little thing that stood out to me that I'm sensitive to, you know. But no big deal with you, Sean King. I know, you know, you've been standing on the right side of justice in your writings and pronouncements. So you get a pass on that. All right. But he goes on to write. I'll close out with this. This is not just bad optics. It gets to the heart of what the multi-billion-dollar enterprise that is the NCAA thinks, not just of its athletes, but of its core business model. So, again, they view the athletes as slaves, and that's their business model. It's slavery. We're going to use the energy of these young people running up and down the court, lifting weights, scoring touchdowns, and all the money that's generated off of this spectacle. We're going to profit, and we're not going to share any of that with the athletes. And matter of fact, we're going to prevent them, put rules in place to prevent them from profiting off of their own personal celebrity that they have developed through their skill and the notoriety from whatever sport they're playing. It's just really disgusting. It's just disgusting. Sean King says it is, in essence, admitting that student athletes are working as slave laborers and as such do not deserve fair compensation. So it's also agreeing with the fact that slavery hasn't been abolished. In fact, it's legal. It's legal as punishment for crime. Now, obviously, the NCAA is wrong to use the 13th Amendment because they have, these student athletes have not been convicted of any crimes. So it is, in fact, illegal slavery. But they're actually saying we're practicing slavery. So, hey, we might can open up a criminal investigation because federally, in terms of civilians, non-prisoners, you can't practice slavery against them. That's called human trafficking, exploitation. They got a whole bunch of laws on the books to cover all of that. So they're actually admitting to a crime and misapplying the 13th Amendment and saying why they get to practice slavery, a model of slavery, against these student athletes. But again, it's the underlying point that I want people to recognize is that even the colleges, or at least these attorneys, are telling you slavery was never abolished in the United States. The 13th Amendment makes that clear. All right. This has been Scotty Reed with the Black Talk Radio News Report. Check out my live broadcast, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday nights, again, doing digital radio broadcasting. And, of course, if you want to find out more about 21st century slavery and human trafficking, join me and Max Parthas on New Abolitionist Radio at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday nights. Our broadcasting home is blacktalkradionetwork.com. All right, please leave a comment. What are your thoughts on this story? Also, if you're able, make a donation to the U.S.-based nonprofit media organization, Black Talk Media Project. Peace and blessings to all.